And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Media Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Tuesday night update. Coming up, LeBron is going to miss some time. The Bucks just don't stop. And the Wolves, they're pretty good. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Mo, a little bit of bad news for the Lakers, and it's been, honestly, one of my favorite seasons to watch LeBron. But unfortunately, LeBron's going to be out for a few weeks with that foot injury he suffered the other night. You know, we watched the game. We heard him say, "I felt a pop." And then he somehow finished the game, which is kind of crazy. But it seems like he has injured something in the foot. We don't know exactly what it is. Whatever is torn or whatever popped, it's going to keep him out of the lineup for a few weeks. And this just, it stinks. Right after the deadline, they improved their team. And Mo, now we got to watch them without their best player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say, Dave. It sucks. And this is the situation the Lakers are in. It just makes it so much harder at this point getting into the playoffs or even the play-in with everything that you have facing and the number of teams you got to jump over. And to do it without LeBron, and you also have D'Angelo Russell out, you know, with a sprained ankle, we'll see when he comes back at what point. But now it's the moves you made were really helped the squad, got everybody excited. At least we're going to have a fun closing stretch for the Lakers. And now it's almost like we're going to have a depressing one.
Yeah. And the game against Memphis, kind of depressing. Ja Morant went off in the third quarter, scored 28 of his 39 points to lead the Grizzlies to a 121-109 win over the shorthanded. At this point, we have to call them shorthanded permanently, or at least until LeBron's back, the shorthanded Lakers. Anthony Davis put up a nice, you know, stat line, 28 points, 19 rebounds, 5 blocks, but, you know, it's just not enough. And again, this team has been fun. They've played hard all year. They've not necessarily been good, but they've been at least compelling to watch on the basketball court. And I hate to see them packed up this way, but that's what happens. Now, to a team that just won't stop winning, the Milwaukee Bucks, they win their 15th straight, and Giannis looks healthy, Mo. 33 points, 15 rebounds, and all of a sudden, the Bucks, they're getting everyone back. Drew Holiday looks great. I mean, the defense that Drew's been leading this team with here lately, got Chris Middleton wounding himself back into form. The Bucks are now the one seed.
I mean, it's not a surprise. This is one of those teams that we knew, like, this is one of the two teams in the East that once they were healthy, this is going to be a problem. They're going to be a challenge across the board. And yeah, this is a hell of a time to get healthy, right? If the exact opposite of the Lakers at this point, but this is the important thing of what you want. You're getting your guys back. Giannis even got a couple of days rest because of that, you know, injury, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I think now they have enough time to really get everybody gelled and rolling in the right situation. You know, Middleton off the bench was good. I thought Ingles was good off the bench. They're getting Bobby Portis back and getting him going again. I just think we're getting ready for that stretch run. And I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. And, you know, if they get that one seed and they get to avoid Philly and Boston in the second round, that's a huge boost right there to get to the conference finals. No offense to whoever wins the 4-5 seed.
And for Brooklyn, hey, you know, Mikal Bridges continues to show that he can be a number one option on a team that's not expected to do much. He had 31 points in this game. Spencer Dinwiddie had 26. They're a team full of parts, man, I really like, but they're just not going to have the chance to win a lot of games over teams like Milwaukee. I mean, they're going to beat up on Orlando. They're going to beat up on Charlotte. But Milwaukee and Boston and Philly, they should just handle the Nets pretty handily. But again, a fun team. They play good basketball, but they're missing a couple of drink stirrers.
They play hard, and they had a lead in this game early on, and it really looks like they actually might shock the Bucks at one point, and you got to give them credit for that. But again, it's like you said. Listen, I love Mikal Bridges. He's awesome. He's really not a number one option if you're trying to be something in the NBA as a team, and I think that's just going to be the situation they're in throughout the season. But right now, it's just about, hey, go out there and compete, because that's something that they haven't done for most of the season. Just the Nets in general have had so many problems afterwards. Now that they have their culture back, you know, the soul of their team back, they can try to just go and start to build a culture and go out from there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. The Dallas Mavericks are struggling a little bit, Mo. They dropped another game tonight. 124-122, they lose to the Indiana Pacers. They're now 1-4 since acquiring Kyrie Irving. Is this the story of this team now, or are they just going to struggle?
I mean, yes. I don't think there's any other way to slice it. They gave up a lot of their defense, which wasn't good to begin with, to get Kyrie, and now it's not really kind of coming together on offense. And you know, their one win, you know who that was against? The San Antonio Spurs, who were on the longest losing streak ever, but they broke it tonight. Shout out to the Spurs for getting onto the winning side of the column for once, shockingly. But for the Mavs, it's getting to become problematic in watching the fact that it's a lot of your turn, my turn with Luka and Kyrie, and they're not getting a lot of actions of them playing off of each other or with each other. And I think that's a big issue for them, and they got to start working together. And I think that's something that, you know, spectator number one, Jay Kidd, needs to work on.
I mean, look, man, he's just standing there watching. You know, it should be noted, the Mavs had a shot to tie or win the game. Kyrie Irving got off a decent look, but you know, it's the end of game. And once again, Mo, you brought up your turn, my turn. It did seem like there was just, this is what they've resulted to, the end of these games. And in spite of Luka having 39 points in that game and generally controlling the game, especially the third quarter, he was fantastic. He's not the one getting the last look. You know, if you're going to draw up an isolation play, why wouldn't you have your best player take that shot?
I actually don't mind Kyrie getting that shot. He had a good look at it. I don't mind it. We know Kyrie can hit big, big shots. I don't have an issue with that. And even using almost Luka as a decoy in that instance. But let's just be honest, Dave. They shouldn't be in close games against the Pacers at that point. You know, like, this is a Pacers team that's out of the play-in tournament in the East and is really kind of struggling a little bit with trying to find their rhythm again now that Tyrese is back. But this is a team that the Mavs are, they made this trade to make a run here. Whether you agreed with it or not, that's what the goal was. They're not expecting to be in a close game against the Indiana Pacers. And I think that's a problem. And this loss now drops them into the play-in tournament.
Yeah. Another big problem is minus 16 in 18 minutes for Christian Wood. This is a guy that they have a decision to make this summer, whether they're going to sign him to a new contract.
I think it's a pretty easy decision. But
feels to me like the decision's been made. If you can't trust this guy to play, you know, at the end of February, I'm not sure what it's going to look like come playoff time. Now, we should mention that the Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, 32 points in this game, actually really controlled the fourth and a lot of the offense for Indiana. And Miles Turner continues the run that he's been on. 24 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 blocks, man. This guy is, he's having a sneaky good season.
good game. He had a, he's having a good run right now. Just got to keep that stuff going. But Dave, I want to get to the other games. Let's go.
That's it. That's it. We're getting to the late game. And Mo, the Timberwolves are looking really good. And you know, they've been playing this long stretch without Karl Anthony Towns. Anthony Edwards ascending into that alpha role that we all thought he would ascend to. And tonight, no different. Although he was alpha on the other end. The defensive end had some key plays, led the Timberwolves over the Clippers 108-101. Jaden McDaniels had 20 points. Rudy Gobert in this game, Mo, I'm going to start with him. It was one of the most forceful offensive performances I've seen from Rudy. He tried to dunk every ball he touched inside. Big difference.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely aggressive and tried to go at anybody they had on him. Zubac, Plumlee. When the Clippers went small, he definitely tried to take advantage of that. I mean, let's be honest. This is the Clipper team that started the demise of the Utah Jazz. I think this was something Rudy was well aware of, and he wanted to be dominant, and I felt like he made his presence felt on the court the entire night.
They dominated in the paint all night, and this has been a problem for the Clippers so far this season. But let's go to Anthony Edwards. He had 18 points in this game. He had a couple of threes early. But Mo, defensively, he was locked in and made a huge strip on Kawhi Leonard in transition toward the end of this game that kind of sealed the win. You don't see guys strip the ball away from Kawhi.
Yeah, and it wasn't just on that play. I felt like he had a strip up top. Up at the top of the key in the second half. I can't remember if it was the fourth or third quarter, but he was just locked in defensively with what you needed to do with the assignment. And then from that, that trickled down to everybody else. And of course you have the eraser and Rudy Gobert behind you to really kind of help out there. But like, that was a very impressive performance from Edwards on that end. And that's something I want to see more and more from him. I want to see him to be able to do it on both ends of the court. We know what he could do on offense. We saw that beautiful reverse with a beautiful kiss off the glass.
Oh my God.
But like, what he's doing on the defensive end is really what's going to separate him from a lot of the other guys who we just know as one side players. He's going to be a two-way player. He has that ability, and I loved watching it tonight.
Legit MVP upside for this guy in my mind. I've said this since day one, just because, you know, I thought the guy had a good head on his shoulders. Turns out he's got a game to match. And Mo, on the other side, man, what's up with the Clippers? I mean, look, we've been on this train for a while, and they brought in Westbrook, which, look, it's, I'm not going to say that it hasn't had its moments. The Russell Westbrook experience, you know, the first 5 minutes of it in this game, I thought, man, wow, he looks pretty good. He's playing under control. He had 8 assists in the first half. But, Mo, it doesn't ever stay that way. The Clippers are bad.
The problem is deeper than Russell Westbrook, who we all know I've had a lot to say on that issue, and I'm not going to regurgitate it here now. But it's the Clippers mentality. Ty Lue in one of the Wired segments is literally begging the guys to play hard. And Stan Van Gundy said it on the broadcast. This is a team that carries themselves, acts like they have championship expectations, but your coach is burning timeouts to beg you to play hard. Like, that's a massive problem in its own right there. And I mean, going into the fourth quarter, they had only one timeout left. And just watching them and go through the motions, and it's just everything you see with this team. It's a lot of issues there. And, you know, I'm going to spill the beans here a little bit, but you texted me going, like, I feel like every time I watch the Clippers, it's like this is the first time they've ever played together. And you're not wrong. And part of the reason why is because they don't take the regular season seriously. The regular season matters for this kind of purpose, for building a continuity and a system and a structure. They just don't have a lot of that now. And now you're trying to pull it together in the last 20 games.
There was a late game possession, and Russell Westbrook has the ball, and Minnesota goes full ball denial on Kawhi and Paul George. Neither of those guys fight all that hard to go get the ball, and the play results in a highly contested Russell Westbrook fadeaway in the paint, you know, that hits front rim. This is what they're going to see at the end of every game if they're closing with Russ, right, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I just said I wasn't going to regurgitate it, but I guess, but here we go.
Please.
He can't play at the end of games. And it's not a Russ thing. It's just, this isn't the right team for him to be on the court at the end of games, because teams are just going to say, hey, we're going to take the other two guys out. And we're going to see if Russ can beat us. And to Russ's credit, he hit a huge three, you know, a couple possessions later off of an offensive rebound to kind of keep the game at least somewhat close. But teams are going to take their chances. If my options are Kawhi Leonard, who's been awesome lately, Paul George, who was really good in this game for the most part, or Russell Westbrook, I'm choosing Russell Westbrook 1,000 times. And if I lose 1,000 times, fine. But I'm not choosing the other two guys. And I think that's the choice that they're going to have to deal with throughout the playoffs. And I just don't know if he could play down the stretch for them. I want to see more Terrence Mann. It's that simple. Just put Terrence Mann out there. Let's go to work there. Russ can be the minutes eater in the second and third quarter. But it's hard to put him out there at the end of games.
Yeah, Terrence Mann also would just give him a better defender, if nothing else. Maybe you're not getting to the basket the same way you would as, you know, a tertiary drive guy or whatever, but you at least have a good defender out there to make up for that. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Mo Dekeel, I'm Dave DeFore. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.